May our Lord Jesus give you his peace. Very happy solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. We celebrate with great praise and joy the conquering of Christ in the individual soul and also the conquering of Christ throughout time. We've been charged with the putting forth of this gospel, Matthew 25, because to reign with Christ is to serve, or to serve with Christ is to reign. And so Matthew 25 gets at that aspect very, very poignantly in terms of the different works of corporal, spiritual works of mercy that we must do in order to exercise our royal priesthood in Christ. And so a couple of years ago, coming off the year of faith, last year about this time, proposing a year of service, maybe an examination of conscience in terms of how did I do? How did I do with serving this past year? As we look forward to this upcoming year, Advent approaching next weekend, the consideration of a suffering servant should come to fore, because oftentimes we fail in service because we fail in suffering. And so we can take a look at all these categories. I was hungry and you gave me food. The word of God must get out beyond these four walls. It must get out to our brothers and sisters. I remember just a couple images coming to me sitting there listening to the readings. One, growing up, had an aquarium, and there was one fish in the aquarium that would just go after the others. You got to separate them. And it gets at that in a community, we can't just be interlooking, because when we're just interlooking, then if it's my own misery that I can't look at, then I'm going to be looking at someone else's misery. And then you've got all kinds of infighting, and the aquarium's not healthy. So part of this is for our own salvation. Look out. We must look out. Forget our own miseries. And just for your challenge, you, as MIM, there are some who are not here, some that you know. It's your responsibility to effect reconciliation. That's your charge. We have to be ministers of mercy, okay? So charity does begin at home, and this is the home right here. This is our aquarium. And consequently, those that might have been bruised, those that might have been scandalized, we have to reach out. We have to reach out again. And anyhow, the outward turn, we must be engaged in that. Okay. So let's look at one of the things recently looking at is the Annunciation. And the kingship, at the very proclamation of the coming of Christ into this world by the Archangel Gabriel, some of the themes that we can look at through this message. One, the Archangel Gabriel tells Mother Mary that he will be great, this king that is to come. And how will he be great? A great spiritual author, Origen, says, the greatness of the Savior is diffused over the whole world. Go up to heaven, see there how it has filled the heavenly places. Carry your thoughts down to the deep, behold, there too he has descended. If you see this, then in like manner, behold, you will have fulfilled in very deed, he shall be great. So the greatness of God in his creation. However, the angel's message is, he will be great. And so there's a greatness to come that still needs to be fulfilled. In other words, there's an old creation which is passing away, which we're going to be praying. In fact, we just did in the opening collect, that all creation that's groaning in travail will be restored through this kingship of Jesus Christ. And that's what's at stake. But the new creation is also a diffusion of the greatness of the Savior throughout the whole world. And just as in the old creation, we could say it's this eternal wisdom that leaves this impress, this intelligibility, this logos within creation itself. For example, that we even have a capacity to conduct the empirical sciences testifies to the fact that there's an eternal reason, which we call the Word, whom we call the Word. But in the new creation, there's also a new impress, there's a new trace, there's a new breath of the divine within the new creation. That new creation is you and I, and that impress is the new created wisdom. The created wisdom of God, you see it in the liturgy, is the Immaculate Virgin Mary. She leaves her maternal presence, her maternal trace, vestige of her own righteousness in the souls that have been baptized and justified in Jesus Christ. She is the seed of the new creation. And so as we look through the Annunciation, we'll be seeing some of these things popping up. And oftentimes, you can't see the royalty of the Christ without seeing the royalty of the Queen Mother, because they're so interrelated. The very term Ave, Hail. When we pray a Hail Mary, how many times do we plug into the presence of Mary as Queen? Hail, Ave, He will be great. Ave, in the time of Rome, was used as a royal greeting, especially at the time of one's death. Ave, Caesar, morituri te salutant. Hail, Caesar, those about to die salute you. In Scripture, we also see this term, Ave, King of the Jews, as the Roman centurions strike the Christ, right? They're mocking what? They're mocking his royal dignity, Ave. And so when we have Gabriel greet the Blessed Virgin Mary from heaven with Ave, Hail, there's a queenship that's being proclaimed. This is Venerable Pius XII in Ad Coeli Reginam. It can be said that the heavenly voice of the Archangel Gabriel was the first to proclaim Mary's royal office. So when we pray Hail Mary, let's think of Our Lady as Queen. We can also think of the Hail Mary as being an immaculate invocation of the holy name Jesus, right? Beautiful. I love to see that. See some heads go down with the holy name of Jesus. Beautiful. Our Lord is King. And you think in the Old Testament, the holy name of God was pronounced one time a year and only by the high priest within the Holy of Holies. And now we have access to the holy name. And what more beautiful way to say the holy name of Jesus with an immaculate invocation right in the center of the Hail Mary, to pronounce it in a participated way, in a sharing way with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Jesus. Can't get enough. Okay, in the Annunciation, what's going to happen with this royal king to come? He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of David, his father. There's a throne that's going to be given. King David was grieved when he saw the Ark of God lodged within skins in the wilderness. Well, he himself dwelt in a house of cedar, right? Then he promised, I will build a house to the Lord. And the Lord God gave him this promise. He shall build a house to my name, and I will establish his throne of his kingdom forever. So, allegorically, when this is what we're all about is the MIM, right? When we introduce a soul to Mother Mary, who is the Ark of the Covenant, and that soul receives the gift of Mary, what happens also is that that soul receives the promise of the inheritance de facto at the same time. That is to say, just like the beloved disciple received Mother Mary at the foot of the cross, taking her into his own, so too when we propose Mother Mary to those that don't know the gospel, as they take her in, as they maybe perhaps take a blessed rosary or a miraculous medal and put it on the shelf for a while until it goes around the neck, whatever, they're right at the cusp of receiving the promise of the inheritance, which means their justification is not far off. I think we know this already. That's why we're here. That's why we, with St. Louis de Montfort, the kingdom of Christ will be established through the reign of Mary, because Mother Mary gave Jesus to the world, and she gives Jesus to this soul as well. She did to you and I. And consequently, this is justice, isn't it? Giving another their due. Okay, so the throne of David, after David, you might remember Solomon and his mom Bathsheba also had a throne right by the right side of, at the time it was Solomon. And so the sharing, the Queen Mother sharing with equal power with the king, at this time Solomon. And you can even think of a modern, more contemporary example, that is to say, not contemporary, but within the life of the church with St. Elizabeth of Hungary. We celebrated recently the patron of the Third Order, right, who was the daughter of a king. And she gave up her royal throne and her royal crown to be seated with the poor and to serve the poorest of the poor. And so of her it can truly be said that the daughters of the kings will come out to greet thee, come out to greet the poor Christ in this world. And so too for us as well. We have to have that outward look, that outward vision, so that we can see Jesus in the most surprising of places. St. Lawrence of Brindisi has the Annunciation as a kind of a royal wedding, just like friend of mine was married over in India, and there was almost this aspect of royalty to it, whereby sending out someone almost as a legate between the bridegroom and the bride, and this kind of going back and forth with this message. And this is what St. Lawrence sees as going on at the Annunciation. What about the reign of Jesus? And as we pray over the offerings at this Mass, as we offer you, O Lord, the sacrifice by which the human race is reconciled to you, we humbly pray that your Son himself may bestow on all nations the gifts of unity and peace. There's a reconciliation that's going on here. And one thing that we have to be convinced in our own lives is that when we're put in the crucible, when we're raised up on the cross, when things are most difficult, there's an ascendancy. Jesus Christ is king, or is proclaimed as king, only with the raising of the cross. That's when the sign goes up. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Three languages, an international proclamation. Who this is, when does it happen? Exactly when everything seems the opposite. You see this? In your lives, we have, by virtue of a baptism, a royal office. We have a participation, the kingship of Jesus Christ. How does that happen? That happens when we, so to speak, are crucified. Most effectively, we have to understand this reality, and we have to embrace this reality, because it's that hope of the reign of Jesus, who's sovereign over all of these things, spreads the kingdom. Behold your Son, and to participate in that. Okay, so Jesus' kingship is affected by becoming the least of all, right? St. Paul, that I might be anathema, that my name might be right in the dust, so that you might be glorified, okay? And we see how the ascendancy of the Christ will come to the fore like this. Okay, the kingdom itself, there's an old kingdom that the Jewish people wanted to be like the other nations around them, right? And before the establishment of the kingdom, they were given the covenant as a sign of God's promise that should have governed all the people in Israel. And yet, because of disobedience, this is in Exodus, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was the promise of the covenant, if you obey my commandments. Of course, the old law was a lesson, basically, you can't without grace. And consequently, the look to, well, we better be like these other Gentile nations, have a king as well, and all the things that were kind of, that go in association with that. But one thing we should think about is this: as Jesus Christ is truly said to be king of the universe, and, you know, at the end of the times, so too Mother Mary is truly said to be queen. And she's queen insofar as she's mother, like just what we said, she's the queen mother of the King of Kings. And also by virtue of the fact that just as Jesus is king, not only by virtue that he is God, but also by virtue of an acquired right as man, what he did for us in our redemption. And that's a really sweet meditation, because look back in your own lives, see the most difficult crosses and suffering in union with Jesus, then we should claim some sovereignty. It's oftentimes you can do that, can't you? Look back and say, how graced, how blessed I was with this cross. And consequently, a real participation in the divine government of the new creation by that. Mother Mary is also queen by virtue of her co-redemption, her singular participation in our redemption. She's queen mother, and she's also co-redemptrix. In these things, she participates in the royal dignity of the Christ. Okay, just to sum up, of his kingdom there will be no end, and so too our perspective has to be geared at the end of the liturgical year to the end times, that although oftentimes it's hidden, the kingdom of truth and life, the kingdom of grace and holiness, the king of peace and justice and love, those things that we have been charged to carry out are being effected, will be perfected at the end of time. At the moment, our task, our real joyful task, is to join in the praise of Christ the King in the now. And just like a lot of the readings have this aspect of being a good shepherd, here's my life. You know, here's the brass tacks of my life. What exercise can I do? This is perhaps something for the upcoming year at Holy Advent. To be this agent of God's merciful love in my life. All right, this is maybe a homework for us the upcoming week before Advent. New liturgical year. Okay? So, and we want to center it around just a suffering service. This is St. Maximilian. This is our Father. That we might love Our Lady at our own expense. Okay? Take hold of the cost. What's it going to cost to build that tower? Sit down, calculate the cost, and then say yes. So that that tower, which is this basically the building of the church, of faith, we can really participate in, and participate in the royal dignity of Jesus Christ.